This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Well, lots happening. The county rocked with some major news yesterday. An indictment of the district attorney here to talk about vying for his office. Come November the 7th, the GOP candidate, Reform Line candidate as well, Mr. Ray Perini. Ray, great to have you.
Good to be back, Jay.
Boy, I tell you, big-time news. But this was news that, to me, Ray Perini, I wasn't completely surprised. Why? Because I think it was brewing for quite some time, and then all coming to a head yesterday afternoon, in my opinion.
You know, I agree with that. They actually started this investigation back in December 2012, and, you know, they weren't just going to let it go. No one knew it was going to happen yesterday, so that's the surprise. But we knew something was going to happen. And, you know, a lot, too much politics and too much, I've been trying to get politics out of the DA's office and law enforcement since I started I did the primary against Voter 4 years ago. And this is how it winds up. This is what happens. We can't tolerate it anymore.
Incredible stuff. And, of course, James Burke, the name that is always in the center of controversies, Ray Perini. And, you know, you go back over the years when James Burke, a teenager, and into mischief, and somehow Tom Spoda formed a relationship with this individual, a camaraderie that carried him all the way through, eventually now with federal charges attached.
You know, remember, he was a crucial witness in a very serious murder case. Spoda was the prosecutor. And they must have had a bond then because he's been his mentor ever since, even with the dark side that most people knew about. You know, the hookers and the drugs and everything else. So, I mean, this is something that should not have been tolerated. And, you know, what's remarkable, Ballone handpicked Burke to run the department.
That is true.
When he was looking for a commissioner, anyone who doesn't want James Burke is not my commissioner. So, I don't know what he did to vet him, but this is all on Ballone's plate, too.
No, listen, you know, and we had a one-on-one, Ray Perini, with Tom Spoda in studio back in July, and we had talked about James Burke. And I found a very emotional Tom Spoda towards the end of our interview. And when I brought up the Ballone name, you could see the redness in the district attorney's face, the emotion, the welling of the eyes, and James Burke. I mean, it all kind of came together that evening. But between these three individuals, you know, say what you want, there are some bonds here.
You know, I understand the bond between, well, I actually don't, but, you know, you have a young witness and you take him under your wing. Ballone's relationship with Burke, I don't get. Was he relying on Spoda's vouching for him? Why doesn't he vet him? Why doesn't he get his internal affairs file? If he had taken a look at that, he never would have made him chief of department. He never would have made him what any commissioner had to accept. Because after the national search, we wind up with Commissioner Weber,
right,
who was in the department to begin with, and basically wasn't a real street cop. He was the accountant. He made sure we had enough paper clips. So Burke was running that department. And now we have Burke in prison and Spoda under indictment. That's what happens when politicians get in the middle of law enforcement.
Ray, I was thinking of this last night. Any speculation on your end as to why James Burke appeared to be a magnet, especially for Tom Spoda? What was the attraction of Tom Spoda to James Burke? Was it just a sense of, you know what, this kid could possibly be something? I mean, I don't get it. What do you think it could have been?
You know, Burke was very charismatic. I mean, if he spoke to 400 cops, they'd do anything for him. But he had a dark side. And Spoda had to know that. So why he propelled him the way he did, whether it goes back to the trial and whatever happened at that trial when he was 16, I don't know. But he sure picked the wrong guy to push. and Ballone sure picked the wrong guy to become his chief of department to run the PD. It's a sad day for law enforcement. It's a sad day for young prosecutors who should be so proud of their job, and now they have to go home and explain that, man, my boss just got indicted.
And another black eye for Long Island. We are talking with Ray Perini. He is running for district attorney in Suffolk County. Ray, can you explain the timeline? Federal charges finally coming through yesterday on Tom Spoda. And then this has been going on as far as the investigation a while. Because my take is, when you have the feds involved, it's not a week or two and then a decision made. Obviously, an investigation can go on for years until you have something like this culminates, correct?
You know what, actually, that's the federal government is very slow and very methodical. I mean, in their bail letter, the investigation started December of 2012. But what's really unique, and I have the indictment and I have their bail letter, that they allege that it started in December of 2012 and it ended the day they handed up the indictment, which means they were still doing things to protect themselves right up until yesterday. That I found very unique. The feds claim they have overwhelming evidence, and it sounds like they have 11 or 12 witnesses who agreed to cooperate, plus, you know, phone records. And actually, they talk about financial records, which I'd be very curious to see. Who was paying who, to people paying for legal fees, or what's going on there?
Jeff Gio sitting in with me today. Ray, Jeff, you have a question for Ray?
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
I'm good.
So you are, while all of this boils up behind us, while this bombshell is dropped yesterday, you find yourself in a competitive district attorney's race against Tim Sweeney. How do you think this indictment plays out and changes the dynamic of this election, if at all?
I think it changes the dynamic completely, because since day one, I talked about three things. Aside from the fact that I was chief of narcotics and I had a distinguished career, I talked about opioids, which is still rising, MS-13, which Sweeney claims he brought down, I guess Sessions didn't know that, and politics and law enforcement. When you cross-endorse somebody after an election in 2001, and then you let him overturn term limits, you're just breeding that ultimate power that has to corrupt. And I put this on Schaefer and Ballone's plate for doing that. And now they want to handpick Sweeney. Because remember, Sweeney, as Newsday described it, was a low-level, undistinguished prosecutor in the U.S. Attorney's Office. Comes out here, loses a race. They want to make him... they make him police commissioner, and he was never a cop. And Ballone does no search at all. Picks him because he's a neighbor, and he likes him, just like he picked Burke. I mean, and now they claim that was done to raise his profile so he could become the next district attorney. So Ballone and Schaefer gave us Spoda, and now they want to give us an unqualified Sweeney. This is pure politics. They don't want to lose the DA's office, because that gives them a comfort level. They don't want somebody who doesn't owe any politician a thing. Remember, I've had a 44-year career. I've raised my own money. I fought the fight 4 years ago when Spoda was the most powerful man in the county. I think this indictment drives home the message that you can't do it. Political bosses have to stay out of the DA's office and law enforcement. I think this is proof positive of my message, and I think it's going to carry the day.
Talking with Ray Perini. Ray, you bring up Rich Schaefer, chairman, of course, Democratic Party right here in Suffolk County. Everybody really asking for the resignation of Tom Spoda, except Rich Schaefer, who thinks that he should play out the term. Why do you think Schaefer is going in that direction of thinking?
Listen, Schaefer handpicked Spoda to become the DA, made all kinds of deals to get him cross-endorsed.
So basically saving face.
Absolutely. You know, thank God I ran the primary 4 years ago, or Sweeney would have all four lines and the voters wouldn't have a choice again. This has to stop, and it has to stop by getting the right man in the office. I mean, I think Tom Spoda should step down. How can you run in the DA's office when you have a federal indictment pending against you?
Ray Perini with us. What kind of a guy is Christopher McPartland? Interesting. He headed the DA's political corruption unit. How ironic. What kind of a guy is McPartland?
You know, I think that when you look at the cases, I'm going back 4 years when I ran the primary.
Yeah.
Loeb, a straight political cover-up that he was in the middle of. The nurses case, do you remember that case?
Sure.
That was ultimately dismissed in the appellate division?
Yep.
That was a political favor. And the Levy case, who McPartland was in the middle of, that was a political hit. Surrender $4 million, don't run again, and we don't know what, never gets arrested. Right? Those three cases are what motivated me to run the primary. Those three cases were too politically driven. And it really goes back to when you think you're king. No term limit. I fought him up to the Court of Appeals and lost on that issue because I am for term limits. But without term limits and you think you're going to get all the lines, you can do anything you want because no one's ever going to look to see what the hell's been going on for the last 16 years. That kind of power corrupts, and I'm sorry to say it happened to you.
And, you know, when you think about it, you're right. I mean, who ran against Tom Spoda? Well, nobody. I mean, unopposed for so long. And, you know, you make a point in which, you know, listen, when you don't have the pressures and everything else of really running a true race, well, you know what? Your power kind of runs free as well. So, in essence, you know, it's interesting when I heard all of this come down yesterday, Ray Perini, you know, I think of a guy like Christopher Loeb. I mean, Christopher Loeb was the individual who actually broke into that SUV, that duffel bag, that infamous duffel bag at the center of attention now on all fronts.
You know, you learn after 44 years, it's always the little case that you just kind of say, oh, we can do whatever we want with this guy. He's just a common criminal that comes and brings you down. It's, you know, you don't take it serious. You figure, we get a special prosecutor, he goes to jail, no one's going to listen to him. It's, you know what? It actually shows that the system can work. It just takes a long time. And we can't have this happen again in the county. This is like I say, Schaefer Ballone can't handpick their next DA. Just can't happen. That would be a travesty.
You know, I'm looking at this whole situation play out. I personally don't expect Spoda to resign. He's basically got 60 days left in office. I know you do. Which way do you think this thing is going to play out?
As far as Spoda,
as far resigning, as the will he resign or won't he resign?
I think that give him a couple of days to really sort it through and realize that at this point in his career, he has to worry about a federal indictment. That's serious business. And how is he? I mean, talk about being a lame duck. What prosecutor? What? You know, the bureaus will keep going, but if he gives a command, who's going to listen to him? You know, he's lost all his moral authority.
That's true. My only thinking is, Ray, you know, that to me, Spoda's all about his legacy. You know, this is an indictment as far as saying, you know what, if I resign, there it is. That's the flag. Jeff Gio?
I would also state that I think a resignation at this point would almost be an admittance of guilt when he stood in front of TV cameras yesterday and proclaimed his innocence. If he were to step down, would he not be conceding that he has lost his moral authority, to use the words that you used?
Right.
But in my opinion, he has lost his moral authority. And you make a good point. Does that become an admission of guilt? But listen, this is going to be played out in a court of law. And it's not going to happen in 2 months. So he's not going to be in office when a verdict comes down. And he can reclaim that. I think for the good of the office, listen, this is a very powerful position. He has 190 lawyers working for him. I think at some point we have to step back and say, you know what? This is for the good of my office. I'm going to step down and let them continue doing what they have to do, and that's prosecuting criminals. I hope he makes that decision.
Now, pivoting back to the campaign and specifically the issue of corruption and how it resonates with voters, we've seen polling in Nassau County indicating that in some places, notably Oyster Bay, places where you've had federal indictments already, that corruption has replaced taxes as the number one issue that resonates most with voters. And we've seen election outcomes that indicate this is true. Do you think that if that poll was conducted in Suffolk County today, a week from now, or on Election Day, that corruption would replace taxes as the number one issue that is driving voters to the polls?
If you had asked me 2 days ago before this indictment, I would say the real concern is the fact that we're losing 400. We lost 400 kids in 2016. We're going to lose over 500 this year with the heroin and fentanyl deaths. Now that this has happened, I think the message that politics and law enforcement is completely corrupting, that cross endorsements are completely corrupting, I think that message hits home now. I think it now resonates because of the reality of Burke in prison and Tom Spoder under indictment. So I think right now, if you polled today, it would be a different poll than it would have been 2 days ago.
Sure.
Ray, quickly to Steve Ballone. I kind of get the feeling as he's having his orange juice this morning that there could be a little bit of nervousness in his camp. Remember, the tie-in and everything else, the cast of characters, it's like a game of Clue. The only one missing is Colonel Mustard here. Basically, what happens to the county executive at this point in time?
Well, I mean, there are 1,000 possible theories, but the one thing about a federal indictment and the potential downside to that is that it does tend to make people want to chat with the government and talk to them. So, I believe there's a lot of nervous people out there right now, concerned about what they may have said, what they may have done in these cross-endorse deals, what they may have bargained away, what they did to keep Spoder there. That's scaring the hell out of a lot of people, Ballone in particular.
And finally, Ray Perini, how much of a dark day was it yesterday, not only for Long Island, not only for the state of New York, but for Suffolk County, in your opinion?
You know, listen, I said I was saddened by it and somewhat sickened by it, and I mean that. You never want to see this happen where your chief law enforcement person goes down like this. My heart goes out for the young 190 lawyers in that office who worked very hard. My heart goes out to the cops who work very hard, who do their job every day, who aren't part of the palace guard. I think it's a day that's gonna live in this county. No one's going to forget yesterday for a very long time, and I hope they don't, because there are lessons to be learned.
Ray Perini, he is vying for that very coveted post of district attorney in Suffolk County. Ray, always a pleasure. Thanks for a few here.